Good morning. I welcome you all to worship service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church in all our hearts. If it's your first time, please check our church website, and there are various ways, we can get connected, especially if please send me an email. Can we take a deep breath? Imagine that you're a little baby and that you are resting in loving mom's breast. Probably there's no place, other place you want to go. This morning, our heavenly mom is calling us, come on, come to me. Let's have some fun together. Focus on me and refocus on me. I'm your mama bear. No one, nothing can hurt you. I'm holding you up with my mighty hands. Let's take a deep breath in and out. And let us focus on God and God's power and love. Let us worship God, our God, with all our hearts and minds and soul. Praise the Lord.
Let us pray. God of love, we pray that you will help us bring love to our church and our community. Let the gift of giving bring joy to us and hope to those in need. Help us to know that giving is the greater gift, and those in need who accept our gift are giving more to us than we can ever give to them. We believe giving is the expression of love, and love is the image of you in which we were created. Please make us instruments of your love in our world through our gifts, our labor, and our love for one another and all humanity. In your name we pray. Amen.
Let us sing it out. Let us pray the Lord's together. Come. Good morning, everybody. Today's scripture reading is from Philippians. This was a book that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi when they were having kind of a rough time. Has anybody else had a rough time, maybe recently? Have you had a rough time recently, Joe?
Sort of.
Might you be having a rough time now? In the passage of Philippians that we're looking at today, Paul tries to comfort the Philippian church using these words: whatever is true or honorable or just or pure, pleasing, commendable, or if there's anything excellent or anything worthy of praise, think about these things and the God of peace will be with you. So I was thinking, what are some things that bring you comfort? I'm wondering if everybody right now, even right now when you're watching this, if you're watching this live while we're showing the service, you can maybe write down your answers in the chat box. Or if you're watching this later, you can enter it into the comments. But what brings you comfort? What, when you're feeling really, really down or sad, or when you're having a hard time, what can you do to make yourself feel better? So let's, Jojo, you and I, let's find some stuff, and you all take some time and find some stuff too, and maybe you can show it to each other, or you could write it in the chat box or the comment box, okay? Let's go, let's do it. Maybe fluffy pillows make you feel nice and snuggly. This isn't the fluffiest pillow, we could find a fluffier. Jojo, you were saying good books make you feel happy? So what brings you comfort is reading a good book, for instance, one that's really exciting like Harry Potter. These are the really beautiful illustrated version. Maybe a snuggly blanket. This is a super soft blanket. Sometimes just a nice snuggly blanket, especially on a cold day, can make us feel good and comfortable. Sometimes a pet can give us comfort. Our pets that are really, can be really in tune to our emotions.
And like Millie.
Like or this is Millie. Or sometimes we might have a stuffed animal. This is Jojo's Hippo Me Hippo.
Yeah, she's my number one stuffed animal.
Some people have hobbies, like, for instance, fishing. This is just the rod without the reel. But some people have hobbies, like, and maybe spending time outdoors can be really nice, so sometimes people like to fish for that reason, too. But you can tell I haven't fished for this in a while, but yeah, that can be a way that people can relax, spend time outdoors, be in nature. Sometimes we can feel really comforted doing that too. So now if everyone can just find one of those things that gives you comfort and hold it with you. Okay, so go get your, if you haven't already gotten your item or typed it in, go ahead and find it, or if it's not something that you can hold, just think about it, okay? Think about it right up here. Okay, go. Got my blanket. Jojo's got his Nana Dino. And we're going to just take a moment and close your eyes and feel the comfort. Feel that sense of warmth and love and safety or just peacefulness that comes from your object or activity. Maybe just take some really deep breaths, and as you do, imagine Jesus giving you a big hug. Just the biggest hug in the world as you're sitting there all nice and comfortable and at peace. And as you do that, just take a nice deep breath or three. Let God hold you. Kids, teenagers, adults, you can all do this. We're not too proud. We're too perfect. We're too grown up to need comfort sometimes. There's nowhere that we can go to escape the love of God. When God sees us, God is thrilled. God is overjoyed. Maybe this week, sit with your item of comfort and do this again, just as a reminder that you are loved and that you are surrounded by the love of God at all times. You know, when times are difficult, it's helpful to remember that there are signs of God all around us. And when people are horrible to other human beings, dehumanizing them and mistreating them, it's also good to remember that there are people and there are things that are good and pure and just and commendable and pleasing and righteous and worthy of praise. There is hope. We can imagine a future together because we are surrounded and held by a loving God who does not let us go, even when things are tough. So maybe we can return to this practice this week. Let's pray together. Loving God, who wraps us in your arms, help us remember what is true and honorable and pure and just and pleasing to you. Help us to remember that there is hope. And help us to find peace even as we continue to press forward. God, thank you for loving us so much. In the name of Jesus, amen. Have a wonderful week, everybody.
Our scripture readings for today are Hosea 6:6 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9:7. Hosea 6:6. I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver.
Today is the first Sunday of Stewardship Program 2020. From today through November 8th, each week we are going to listen to testimony. And today is the first time, first day. And we are going to have our sister, you know, Jenny. She is going to talk about, you know, how God has been transforming her, you know, through God's ministry, you know, in and through us. So can we welcome our sister Jenny?
Hi, everyone. What a privilege to speak to how I've been transformed in faith during my time here at St. Matthew's. Looking over my time in this church, I can hardly believe that James and I have only been coming here for just over a year now. The impact I've felt engaging with this faith community encapsulates depth and meaning that far surpasses a year of time in my mind, which makes me especially grateful to share my perspective with you today. I arrived at St. Matthew's having actually only been a part of one other church community my entire life up until walking through these doors. I even had the rather unbelievable privilege of only having had one pastor up until our wedding day. And yes, that pastor was forced to retire last summer at the young age of 92 years old. So with the only pastor I had ever known having retired, I must admit I was feeling trepidatious about what the next chapter of my faith journey would be and how James and I would find a faith community that felt right to both of us as we came together stepping into marriage having come from different faith traditions. Then last summer, God provided for us when James got the choir director job here at St. Matthew's, and that's where my story of transformation begins. From the moment I entered this community, I've been consistently moved by the energy and warmth moving through every facet of my engagement with St. Matthew's. I entered this community as the choir director's wife and was excited to do so and quickly came to realize that there was so much more for me here than I ever could have anticipated. Here at St. Matthew's, there's so much that I wish I could share, and of course, just a few minutes would never do it all justice. So if I were to choose the most prominent feeling of how I've been transformed in my time here, it would be how I've learned how to recognize Jesus' love moving through and within others. I continue to feel moved by how this presence of life-giving generosity, care, and love, and true compassion radiates from both our pastoral leadership and the members of this community at every angle, every turn. And it is this love that I've felt from you, our community, from day one, that has served as an astounding foundation for me to ground myself deeper in my faith and to grow in my own faith journey. As someone who had only known engagement in the church from one pastor up until arriving here at St. Matthew's, one of my greatest personal gifts in, I guess, a meaningful source of transformation here at St. Matthew's has been to witness how faith does not live or reside in just one pastor alone or one community alone, but to witness that presence of the Spirit moving through not only one pastor, but now two already in my time here. And for me, as someone who had only known that experience through one, to see how that faith is carried from one person to another and how Jesus' love transcends from one pastor to another, that's been an unbelievable realization for me. I hadn't known up until this past year. And we've been so blessed that God has provided for us two unbelievably moving, inspiring, and powerful pastors in this short time, and in this especially important time for really strong pastoral leadership, right? You've all played an important role in transforming my understanding of the power of prayer. That's another prominent one on my heart, from the pastor's prayer of intention at the start of any event to our offering that we have, that we share during our services, from the individual prayers as well that you've offered. And I continue to be moved by how your prayers have lifted me and James up in our professional lives, in our faith, and in our marriage. I am just overflowing with gratitude for feeling the power of your prayer and learning what that can be and how it moves through my life. How could we have ever known we'd find our way to this community only a few short months before the pandemic would come and hit us? And yet somehow the unexpected, difficult challenges that have come before us also feel intricately linked with my story of feeling transformed here at St. Matthew's. For it is since the pandemic hit that I found myself challenged while also more deeply grounded than I can ever remember in exploring my own faith. I've felt connected to my faith in a new way than ever before. I've found a foundation of faith in my marriage in this first year of my married life that is irreplaceable to me. And I've found myself establishing deeper connections with members of this community than ever before the pandemic. It's been amazing to get to know individual people more deeply and closely through our Bible study experiences and through our coffee hour. And I feel so moved by how I've gotten to know people in a way I'm not sure that I would have as deeply or as meaningfully during other circumstances. There's something really remarkable about that, right? In such a difficult and hard time, there's so much beauty around us, and what I see in that and my journey of faith this year is just how much St. Matthew's has really been there for me and how this community has been there for me, bringing me meaning, transformation, connection, and a true presence despite physical distance in ways I never could have anticipated or even thought to ask for. I can't help but feel on my heart in sharing with you today, is there any greater sign of an impactful, meaningful faith community than how this community would be there for us during the most unexpected times we could imagine? So I encourage you all to also offer some time to reflect on how you've been transformed, both when thinking back on the role of St. Matthew's in our lives before the pandemic, and how this community continues to stand together, even when apart, during these difficult times. I thank the Stewardship Committee for inviting me to share in this capacity. This has been a particularly meaningful time for reflection on my faith and transformation in the midst of such trying times. And grateful to get to share a little bit more about me and my unbelievable gratitude for St. Matthew's during this time more than ever. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny. Appreciate it. This is so exciting to have this stewardship program. So I already feel that, through our sister Jenny's testimony, I feel that the Holy Spirit will lead us through this time that we may experience God's transforming power. You know, we are having this 2020 stewardship program from today through November 8th. And we begin this program with a commissional prayer, prayer team, in a minute. And each week, like just like this, each week we are going to listen to testimony. And you will receive a stewardship letter and a pledge card in about 2 weeks. And the pastor, I'm going to talk about stewardship. Then what does the stewardship program mean to you? When you hear the word stewardship, what's the first thing comes into mind? Annual event of a church? Heavy burden? Another fundraising program? What is it? What comes into mind when you think about stewardship? Heavy burden, responsibility, and fundraising. If that's the case, you may say, Pastor, I get enough phone calls from charity organizations. That's not enough? Do I have to hear more about give, give, give? Should I hear the money talk even at the worship service? Sometimes I feel the church is like a money monster. Here we go, give me money and more money. Is it what you feel when you hear the word stewardship? What does stewardship program mean to you? What does the Bible have to say about stewardship? First, it is an opportunity to check up my attitude toward God, the provider, and God's blessings that God has already given to us. Am I sharing all these gifts willingly or unwillingly? So I invite you to check up your attitude toward God and God's blessings during this time of a stewardship program. You know, when I have one son, his name is Joshua, you know, when he was getting older, I think he was learning the beauty of having more. The pleasure to having more. So one day, he was having one of his favorite desserts, and then I expected he would be willing to, you know, share it with me. So Josh, and he was a little, about 3 or 4. Josh, can I have some? No, I don't think so. Come on, I'm your dad. You know, I'm the one who gets you everything you need, man. So I tried to help him to understand why he would like to share with me. So, fast forward, he ended up sharing it unwillingly. I don't think that he was happy. And I wasn't happy either. That's what happened. But about 2 years later, when he got older, you know, I remember that year during the Lenten season, I fasted the dinners. You know, my family and I, we went somewhere, and then on our way back home, you know, we stopped by this small restaurant, and we are having dinner. But I decided to fast during the Lenten season, so I was fasting. And Joshua was having one of his treats, you know, hot dogs. At the time, it was his favorite. So he was eating hot dog, but he saw me not eating anything. Then this time, I think he got more mature by then, than 2 years ago. So he asked me, Dad, please have one bite. No, Josh, you know, I'm fasting. You know, fasting means such and such, so I cannot. In a minute, but just this time, Dad, just have one bite, so good. Just have one bite. Then I had to refuse it again. Then again, and then he ended up crying. Dad, I want to have it. It's so delicious. Dad, have it. Do you think I was happy to see him crying? Yes, I was. Because I felt his heart. He really wanted me to have it. He really wanted to share it with me. He touched my heart. Of course, I was not touched by the hot dog, but I was touched by his heart. His attitude, his heart touched me. When he was a cheerful giver, I was well pleased with him. I believe I can apply this story to our giving attitude to our heavenly parents, our God. When you cheerfully give money, time, and talents to your God, God is well pleased. When you joyfully share your testimony and prayers for others, God is well pleased. First, stewardship is first about attitude. It is about attitude. Stewardship is about attitude, and it's about acknowledging that God is the provider. Anything I have is the blessings from God. Is there anyone who brought anything when you're born? No, we came with empty hands. Everything I have at this moment is blessings from God. So it is time to sit down and count God's blessings. As I acknowledge God's abundant love and blessings, I come to examine what attitude I have in giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves the cheerful giver. The Bible encourages us being serious about this offering pattern. We take time. We count our blessings from God. Then we decide cheerfully give. Give time, presence, give witnesses and prayers. I grew up with this very dedicated mother. You know, whenever I think about stewardship, she's the first one comes into my mind. At the time when I was younger, I don't think that there was like a writing check system in Korea. So it's all cash. So when it's my father's payday, he brought this kind of yellowish envelope, you know, filled with bill, the green. And then my mother was the one who was dealing with all these finances, so she put this white envelope here in the white table, and she started counting the bills. Okay, this percent, 10% is tithing. This is for offering for Thanksgiving. It's not offering for Thanksgiving Sunday. It is kind of weekly or monthly, you know, money for offering for Thanksgiving. You know, I'm grateful to God, so it's my expression. Thanksgiving offering, and probably allowance for Jinu. So, you know, gas bills, all this. But always, foremost, the tithing and Thanksgiving offerings were first things that she set aside. Then next day, she went to bank and asked for the nice and crisp, you know, clean money, clean bills. Hey, what's the difference, Mom? Money is money. You know, God wouldn't mind this kind of, you know, wiggled, you know, the dirty money. No, this is my heart, son. Yeah, money can be money, but this is my heart. So she went to the bank and asked the teller to exchange what she brought with a nice and clean, that you know what I'm talking about, that crisp, the bill. That's what I grew up with. So after I became independent, you know, I came to the Boston, And now, the first time I made the money, then automatically I started thinking about that. So I brought some money to the bank and I asked for new money. Well, of course, my English wasn't like today, so, you know, can I have new money? Yeah, what I remember is that the bank teller didn't get what I was asking for. New money. We don't have new money, you know. Money is money. No, new money. Clean money. Money, please. Come on, man. Money is money, you know. Your money is clean money, you know. So there was no success. What does this story tell you? Stewardship is about attitude. God wants you to be a cheerful giver. God wants you a joyful giver. God wants your love first. God wants your heart. We want to set aside time and sit down and spend some time with God and count the blessings and acknowledge that God is the provider. So begin with counting your blessings to be a joyful and cheerful giver. I encourage you to start counting your blessings. If you cannot see that everything you have comes from God, I hardly can imagine you would willingly and joyfully make commitment to God and God's ministries with your prayers, talents, time of service, and gifts and witnesses. I remember when I was taking the stewardship class at seminary, the first assignment was write down 200 things that you are grateful to God for. I expected they would give me all these different, you know, teach me all different, you know, skill sets, how to encourage the congregation to give more and more. But the first assignment was for all the students for the class, you know, write down 200 things that you are grateful to God for. Have you ever done it? Try it. You'll be amazed. Number one, it's so hard to think of, come up with 200 things. I thought I was always grateful, but actually not. But through the semester, I realized that God was opening my eyes, transforming my attitude, transforming my attitude. Up here, I thought I was always, you know, a cheerful giver. I was always grateful to God for all God's blessings. But I was not. That was my expectation, which was different from the reality. But through the practice, that spiritual discipline, I realized that God was opening my eyes so that I got new lenses of gratitude. Then I became cheerful giver more and more. So I'd like to invite you to sit down and take some time with God and count all the blessings God has already given to you. That's the beginning of this stewardship. Beginning to be a cheerful giver. We are called as God's stewards. We have responsibility to serve God and God's people. And somebody says, responsibility is an ability to respond. Have you ever heard that? Responsibility means the ability to respond. When I take this stewardship, the responsibility as God's steward, that means I use my ability to respond to God's grace. That's my interpretation. I decide to use my ability to respond to God's grace. That is my responsibility as God's steward. Would you join me? What does the stewardship program mean? It is an opportunity to check up my attitude toward God, the provider, and God's blessings that God has already given to us. And second, it's an opportunity to examine my priorities. Where is God on my priority list. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. God wants our love first. God wants our acknowledgement first. God wants our heart first, even before the offerings, sacrifices, worship. Do I want to give God the first and the best, or leftover? Stewardship is about priority. If you ever fell in love with somebody, if you are in love with someone, then you already know what it means. When you fall in love with one another, what do? You want to give, give, and give, right? You want to give your time. You want to give your presence. You want to give gifts. All day long you think about, oh, what I want to do to please that person, this person. Do you really appreciate God loves you no matter what and there's nothing you can do about it? Do you really appreciate it? During the last 3 months, I've heard so many feedbacks. Pastor, I love it. You know, when you say, you know, God loves you, so do I, and there's nothing you can do about it, I love it. Do you really appreciate it? And when you say, I love you, Lord, then do you really mean it, or you just say it? Then I believe our stewardship should reflect that. Okay, there is a Wayne here. Wayne, I love you. I love you so much, my brother. You know, last night I had this great dish. But this morning, with all my loving heart for you, I brought this. It's a leftover. I know. But I ate clean. It still smells good. I love you with all my heart, and I brought it for you. You should see his face, his expression. Yeah, I laughed and you laughed. But can we just laugh? Maybe not. Maybe this might be the attitude we have shown to God. God, I love you. And whenever you spoke to me through the pastor, the preacher, how much you love me, so that you sent your one and only son, Jesus Christ, and he died on the cross and saved my life. So I love you, Lord. But I will give you when I can give. I'll be with the needy when I have leftover time. I'll serve those ministries when I have time. I'll share the financial gifts when I can, after spending them to get what I want. It's time to be brutally honest and reflect on our attitude and examine ourselves, where God is on my priority list. What does the stewardship program mean to you? Let me repeat it one more time. It is an opportunity to check my attitude toward God, the provider, and God's blessings that God has already given to me. And it is an opportunity to examine my priorities. Where is God on my priority list? Stewardship campaign is an opportunity for me to decide to put God on the top of the list. God is at the first place in my life. So I cannot give up offering to God, offering prayers, presents, time and service, and gifts and witnesses. I acknowledge that God is the provider, so I cannot give up offering to God. I cannot help but accept that God is the God who puts me as the first priority. And God loves me no matter what, and there's nothing I can do about it. So I cannot give up offering to God. How about you? Can you give up offering to God? Let us take this journey together. During the next 4 weeks, let us be brutally honest before God. In order to do that, we need the prayers. So today, we commissioned the prayer team. We have quite a number of people who stepped up, and then we decide to hold up our sisters and brothers with our prayers. If you haven't signed them yet, or you would like to join us, then please let Susan, the coordinator of the Stewardship Campaign program, know. Let us pray together. Today, and through the whole 4 weeks, I'd like to invite you to 444 prayers. The fourth day of the week, which is Thursday, at 4 o'clock, and for at least 4 minutes. Of course, 40 minutes is acceptable. At least 4 minutes. The fourth of the week, which is Thursday, at 4 o'clock, for at least 4 minutes. Let us pray together. And this week, let us pray for our attitude and priority. And this prayer team members will hold us up in their prayers. So can we bless our prayer warriors first? Would you stretch your arms like this? It is our traditional posture to bless somebody in our tradition. Let us pray for our sisters and brothers who volunteered for this ministry prayer. I'm so grateful that I'm the pastor of this community of faith who began the Stewardship program with the prayers. Please join me. Let us pray. Gracious God, we bless our siblings in Christ who have made a decision to make commitment to the prayer ministry through this Stewardship program time, Lord. Fill their hearts with the compassion for us. Keep them safe and healthy, Lord. As we rely on their prayers and the power of prayers, you may change my heart and inspire me so that I may become this prayer team. As we begin our Stewardship program with prayers, especially 444 on Thursday at 4, at least 4 minutes, you may hear every single one of us, you know, lift each other, you know, with prayers. Have mercy on us and hear our prayers. Lord, thank you for giving us this opportunity. And thank you for these siblings in Christ. And thank you for your promise that we decide to stand on your promises, even in the midst of this very uncertain time. So this year, the Stewardship Program time will be another blessing that comes from you, Lord. We are excited and we expect how you will be transforming us and our community. We praise your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Can we give a big hand to our siblings, you know, prayer team siblings? Can we give a big hand? Sure. Thank you so much. But as I mentioned earlier, you know, if you feel inspired and you want to be part of this ministry, please let us know. Let me know or let Susan LaSante know. She's the coordinator of the stewardship. And actually, I want to acknowledge her. You know, she thought her commitment to a stewardship program was done by last year. But I invited her one more time this year. So can we give a big hand, please? I really appreciate it. You know, I needed help as a newbie pastor, and she said yes. You know, so now we are doing this. And I feel great that, you know, I expect that God will be doing something beautiful during the next, for the next 4 weeks as we take this stretch program seriously. Based on those two Bible passages we shared this morning, we've been remembering this response to God's grace. Again, responsibility, ability to respond to God's grace. So we say this all the time, and I invite you to do it again. Think about the meaning of it. My part is based on Hosea 6:6, and our part, all people part, is based on 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, in modern language. God wants our love more than God wants our offerings. God cares about our hearts, not the amount of our offerings. As we count all the blessings God has already given to us, we cheerfully give our offerings to God, the provider, with a grateful heart. Amen. Yes, let us sit down and spend some time with God and count our blessings, all the God's blessings God has given to us. And then I pray for all those God will reach out through our ministries here at St. Matthew's. Then you may send your offerings to the church, 435 Central Street in Acton, Massachusetts. Or you please check our church website. You can find several different ways. And also, if you are a member of this church, you can access the resource, the database, the brief, and there are several ways you can participate in this offering ministry too. Great. Now, you think, I'm very excited. Do I look excited? Yes, I'm excited. You know, it's great to have this blessing with you. You know, now I'm going to invite you to sing this hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. If you are still in the bath or you are sitting on the couch, please, then I invite you get out of there. You know, I remember when I was younger, my mother was visiting me. And it was winter, you know. At the time, my sister was living in a Baltimore area, so I met her, my mother, in Washington, D.C. You know, it was kind of windy and cold winter. So while we were waiting for a bus, you know, I didn't want her to be bored. So I was, I think, I don't know how old, probably around 40. But I didn't care, you know, what other people would think of me. I started dancing on the street, mom. You know, in this winter, cold winter, but I want to make you happy. You know, that's why I'm here. You know, I want to cheer you up, mom. So I started dancing, you know, with whatever. Then she was laughing and we had a good time and I have the precious memory. Now it's time for you to stand up and use all that you are with all that you have and let us praise the Lord together. What a friend we have in Jesus. It's time for prayer. I'm going to share the prayer request first, and then I will lit the candles by remembering every single one of the prayer requests. Let us pray together. From that verse, let us pray for healing of our country. This is my prayer. From Joran Johns, please pray everyone. Pray for my granddaughter, Josie, who is having an endoscopy on Tuesday, and also for my son Nathan to recover from his headache syndromes. From Eric Nims, a prayer of a celebration and hope for continued health for Florence Nims as she celebrates her 100th birthday this week. From Eric Kathy, Tristan, and Charlotte Nims. And the entire congregation, a prayer of gratitude for Pastor Gino. We are grateful for you. I'm grateful for you. This is my prayer. From Joran Johns, thank you, Jesus, for this glorious worship and music and for beautiful fall colors. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
Carl Amstead, prayers for a dear friend and the former Acton resident, Terry Allison, who is recovering from a brain procedure and Spalding, and faces more brain surgery in the near future for a B-E-N-I-G-N.
Benign
tumor. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
From Leslie Brew, prayers of thanksgiving for those responding to prayers and for those who offer their prayers. This is my prayer. From Catherine Gorman, prayers of joy and thanksgiving from my family. My cousin Lindsay and her husband Ben welcomed their first child, Leland, into the world last week. Mother and baby are both doing well. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
Let us pray together. As I lit the candles, remembering each of the prayer requests, let us pray together. Let us pray together. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us share the final peace with one another. The peace of Christ be with you all. Peace of Christ be with you. I have several announcements to share with you this morning. First of all, thank you very much to all the worship leaders this week again. And thank you for joining us in worshiping God together this morning. You know, as I mentioned earlier, if it's your first time and you want to be connected to this church, the community of faith, please send me an email. You know, you can find my email address on the YouTube and also a church website, pastor@saint-matthews.org. pastor@saint-matthews.org. I would love to be connected with you and get to know you and take the journey together. Please, you know, join me. You can check the church website, and you can find a lot of information about various small groups like Bible study group and Sunday worship service, Sunday schools for adults and children. And this month, the October 24th, 8:30 through 10, we are going to have a virtual immigration breakfast. The Saturday morning breakfast addressing various critical topics on immigration. And attendees will be able to sign on at 8:30 a.m. for welcoming conversation if you desire. And the program will begin at 9 a.m. And the guest speakers will be members from MIRA, Massachusetts Immigration and Refuge Advocacy Coalition. So MIRA's vision is a commonwealth and a nation where all can thrive, no matter where they came from or how they got here, and all can fully participate in their communities, social, economic, and civil life. So please mark your calendar, October 24th at 8:30 through 10, and please join us. And after this service, you know, we are going to have a virtual coffee hour. You can find the link on the YouTube and also on our church website. And please join us. The password is one word, coffee hour. Coffee hour. My beloved siblings in Christ, let us celebrate all the blessings God has given to us and is giving us and will be giving us. Let us celebrate this strong sense of community faith that we share the blessings with one another in this church community and also to our local communities and beyond. God will provide something beautiful that we'll be experiencing as we share God's blessings together. So let us fully celebrate, but let us begin with the count of blessings this week. Now go in peace and enjoy every bit of life that God walks with you and provides you with all God's heart and love. Amen. Let us bless each other through this song.